The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now it gives me great pleasure to welcome Dr. Sabina Brennan to studio, the neuroscientist and the author of Still Me, a neuroscientist's guide to caring for someone with dementia. Sabina, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So yeah, I have the book in your hand. And before we kind of talk through maybe the lessons you have learned and, you know, what people might derive from the book, this is born of personal experience, isn't it?
It's born of personal experience and also my professional background. So I was directing a dementia research program in Trinity College and my own mum developed dementia. So yeah, I mean, you know, it was quite close to home. Well, actually, she got delirium first, which is a common entry route into dementia for some older people. She had a UTI, urinary tract infection. Didn't know she had because she didn't have a temperature. And so was very ill, stopped drinking fluids, which is the worst thing you can do, got delirium. And unfortunately, if you have any sort of underlying as a mild cognitive impairment, if you get delirium, it can then accelerate and jump you right into kind of full-blown dementia, which is what happened to Mum. I should say to people, you can get delirium and recover fully. This is just in this kind of instance.
How different or difficult was it to apply, you know, the lessons of your professional life to a personal situation?
The lessons of my professional life were actually really around understanding the disease, understanding risk factors, understanding what you can do, also understanding the perspective of the person with dementia, because I had done a lot of work with the Alzheimer's Society, with SAGE, which is an advocacy organization for older people to ensure their rights. So I had very much had a human rights perspective. So I think that helped immensely in that I was able to acknowledge that my mother was still there. Because I understood the disease, I also understood that symptoms were just malfunctioning of the brain, that if certain behaviors happened or they were said, you know, that was just the disease talking or whatever. So that kind of that I suppose helped immensely. And I think it helped, you know, the interaction with my mom. It helped me to help her live, have good times despite the disease. So I think that's where that helped. But I'm still a human being, as I say to people, you know, like I'm a psychologist and a neuroscientist. I know what you should do in every situation. I know why you do those things. But I'm a human being first.
Yes.
So it's very much the same. You know, you're a human being. And I think it's something that I talk about in the book. I think it's very important to acknowledge your own limitations, and not everybody is going to be able to care for someone with dementia. And I knew my own limitations. I knew for sure there's no way I could be a full-time carer.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't possess the patience for it. But I knew that I could kind of do amounts. I knew I could do, you know, shorter stints where I could stimulate mom and do nice things with her and bring her out and keep her engaged with life. And I had I'm really blessed with an amazing husband who actually just was brilliant with my mum, and actually as the disease progressed did lots of the more challenging stuff.
Yeah. You used a turn of phrase there. You talked about understanding the person with dementia and understanding their point of view and all of that. And I guess that kind of encapsulates the idea of still me, you know, that they don't become a different person. And I just wonder as well, the other thing you talked about there as well about realizing your own limitations and you didn't have the capacity to be a full-time carer. I guess that's the preconception people have, is that once this disease enters into their lives or into their family, that someone is going to have to become a full-time carer, and then that defines them. That's all they are, you know, and that defines their entire relationship with this
person. So you've come across what the title of the book means. It has a double meaning, you know. Still Me is to acknowledge that the person living with dementia, even if they can't communicate with you anymore, even if their behavior has changed, because at the end of the day, our personality is the sort of sum total of our patterns of behavior. It's how we behave predictably. So that behavior is going to change when someone gets dementia because of the nature of the disease. But there is still a living, loving, feeling individual inside there, aside from the disease. And I've been kind of trying to explain, because some people kind of go, oh, but they're not talking to me, you know, they don't, you know, they look like they're not there. But if you think of someone who's been in a car accident and they're in a coma, what are you encouraged to do? You're encouraged to continue talking to that person, to play music for them, to, you know, massage them, to engage with them, because there is a chance that they're still there experiencing life, and to do otherwise is kind of not a good idea, really, you know, because the person could be trapped inside. And my feeling is to acknowledge that actual person is still inside despite dementia. So while in the book I give information about the different types of dementia, my aim really is so that you can understand the symptoms, but then you can forget about the disease and just focus on the person and on making sure that they, you know, continue to live well. You know, dementia doesn't stop you having the same needs you had before.
Yeah.
It stops you being able to communicate those needs, which then becomes really challenging for both people involved. And actually, when I say both, exactly what you just said there is, first of all, I will say there is no way that one single person should ever have sole responsibility for caring for someone 24/7 who has one of the most complicated diseases you will ever encounter. And as a society, we need much more supports for people. But you don't have to do it all. You just have to do what matters sustainably, because it's a marathon, not a sprint. But I think it's also really important that the second bit that you touched on is that still me refers to the carer. As you said, it's really, really difficult not to just become the carer, like the person can just become the person with dementia. And the thing is, caring is just one aspect of your life, and you are not less important than the person with dementia. You are just as important. Much as I'm advocating for the person with dementia to have a life, person caring has to have a life, has to and really must do their utmost to maintain other aspects of their being. And guilt is a big one. And I write about guilt a good bit in the book, because guilt can drive us, particularly in the caring situation, to agree to doing unreasonable things or things that it's just not really possible for us to do and maintain our own health or maintain our job. Because a lot of us, so the kind of caring I did, I couldn't afford to give up my job. I had a mortgage to pay.
Yeah.
You know, I was putting two kids through university. You know, and for a lot of carers, there are a lot of women, you know, they're dealing with menopause. They're dealing with kids, putting kids through university. They have a career, and then their parents get dementia. And so a lot of carers are doing what you might call part-time care, but it's still full-time because there's only 24 hours in a day. And it is important that those, when you are caring, that you have to make some time for the rest of who you are, that you don't lose yourself in that. And that's challenging. You know, I'm not saying it's easy, but I do have very, very practical tips in the book about how even small changes can free up time or give you the perception that you have more time or give you the perception that you have support and you're not in this enforced kind of situation.
What's the advice that I've not wanted to give everything away from the book,
no,
but
fine.
The advice in terms of mindset and how you frame success, because dementia to me it falls into maybe the same category as some other kind of acute neurological condition, like motor neuron disease and stuff, where there's a real sense of just sometimes on the outside looking in of just managed decline and every day being kind of worse, slightly worse than the day before. And I just couldn't imagine that just being, well, kind of thoroughly depressing.
Yeah. And what's the point? And actually, that's one thing that I really want to sort of tackle in a way. There's a lot of people talk about the long goodbye, which kind of describes the narrative that you're talking about. I think it's important to remember. So something like motor neuron disease, that's much more acute. You know, with dementia, it can be a very long time, 20 years. I think there's lots of different types of dementia, and some dementias are not neurodegenerative. You don't get worse over time. So if you have vascular dementia, for example, as a consequence of a stroke, if you adopt a healthier lifestyle, if you can manage it, you know, if it works out for you that you have no more strokes and no more mini strokes, your level of deficit may just remain and plateau as that level of deficit. So Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia. And yes, there is a degeneration, but getting a diagnosis doesn't mean you just go, oh, I have a diagnosis, I'm going to decline. It actually means you really got to ramp up your brain healthy lifestyle. Because even if you have the diagnosis, if you adopt brain healthy habits, you can change the trajectory of the disease. And by that, I mean, you can push out the onset of the symptoms that you're talking about. So we distinguish now between Alzheimer's disease and Alzheimer's dementia, the disease being the pathology in your brain, the dementia being the symptoms like confusion, memory loss, language loss, those kind of things, agitation, aggression. Okay, you can have the disease in your brain and not show any symptoms. You can have the disease in your brain and slow the trajectory of those symptoms. And the people who have this resilience are people who have adopted a brain healthy lifestyle. So in the earlier stages of the disease, it's not about how much disease you have in your brain. It's about how much healthy brain you have to cope with that disease and compensate for that disease. So a brain healthy lifestyle, and that's why it's critical not to just sit at home. And this is critical for the caregiver too.
Yeah.
Because I've done research in Trinity where we were looking at a potential increased likelihood of the caregiver getting dementia. And again, that's probably related to lifestyle. So you got to both keep physically active. Got to keep socially engaged. That can be challenging in the beginning because the person with dementia may want to retreat and you may be inclined to retreat, but actually getting out there. And we need a society that's more welcoming of people with dementia. And there's no reason that a bunch of people with dementia should all be cared for in one care home. There's no medical reason for that. In fact, they should be integrated in society and connect. And my mum, I brought her like to an outdoor theatre and I told people beforehand. And yes, she made comments and whatever, but people knew and it was fine. And you know, we have neurodiversity days in supermarkets and things like that now. I think we need sort of more openness so that people with dementia can engage socially. You know, healthy diet, healthy weight, stimulation. This is what people forget about. You've got to continue mental stimulation, engagement with life, enjoyment. You know, the person, boredom is one of the worst things. A lot of people with dementia are left sitting there. Boredom will accelerate your symptoms. That person with dementia symptoms.
Yeah.
If you engage them socially and mentally and do things with them, whether it's art or give them purpose and meaning, that will slow down the symptoms.
Yeah. That's, you know, good advice, I think, for everybody. We get to a certain point in life, and sorry, I'm going to get in trouble because we're running out of time.
Sorry, but that's me.
The real bugbear of mine is that we stop learning new things. People stop doing new things. It's kind of like, you know, your childhood and maybe up until your late 20s is when you might learn an instrument or learn a new language or do a course, and then you're meant to suddenly stop.
So that's the whole,
I don't know why.
That's the whole premise of my first book, because what we see is what's called an age-related decline in the size of your brain. Your brain starts to shrink. Why? Because you stop learning new things. Because when you learn new things, you harness neuroplasticity in your brain, you grow new connections, brain cells, and you get that bigger, happier, healthy brain.
We have a few texts. A lot of love for you on the text line. There always is. But a few people saying, Kieran, mention the name of that book again. I missed it. The name of the book is Still Me, A Neuroscientist's Guide to Caring for Someone with Dementia. It is written by the neuroscientist, Dr. Sabina Brennan. Sabina, thanks a million for coming in to us.
Thanks a million, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.